Love is the law every day here on the Lori and Julia Show, but no day is love more the law than on Friday. We are in love with Friday. We are in love with the weekend. It's here. Let's do this. Let's do the Friday things.
Let's do it.
Yeah, and what a beautiful Friday.
Oh, so lovely.
What a day to play hooky if you could.
That's one thing about this job. We have never been able to play hooky
well,
in 18
unless
years.
We take a fake sick day, and but that's again, been done. Here and there, very sporadic. Nothing B needs to get her undies in.
I mean, like, I can think of two. Maybe in 18
Julia,
years.
Oh, Julia, your memory is bad.
Is
it's,
it?
It's porous now, is what it is. No, we've had days where we were just like, oh.
I can't do
but
it
no,
today.
But no, it's not fair to the...
It's not fair to the other people.
Yeah, it's not as much fun as corporate America. My best call-in sick was when I called in sick to Carlson Companies and I was at spring training in Arizona.
And I remember before you went, Julia, this is what's going to happen.
I'm calling in sick on Monday. And oh my God. And then I think I called in sick once from Miami.
You probably
yeah,
did.
I have taken advantage of extending a long weekend.
Very lovely.
Very nice. Okay, so this just made me laugh this morning because, of course, you know, Al Roker, every Friday, he's always like, Sunday, Sunday. You know, he does all of his little football
stuff, okay.
Things and gives a little update. And, of course, the big game this week that Al decided to highlight was the Vikings playing Seattle. In Seattle.
Guess why he's highlighting this?
Why?
Because it's Sunday Night Football on NBC.
Okay, that's why. All right, good. I didn't know that.
The Vikings don't get a lot of attention right now, but it's right. Sunday Night Football on his channel.
There you go. That explains so much for me. But all I know is that I will be in Seattle this weekend.
Yes.
It's my mom's birthday on Sunday.
Oh, Mooty.
And the family is pretty much become all Seahawk fans, except for my one sister, who is still a Viking and a Seahawk fan, although this year she's leaning more towards the Seahawks. But
why wouldn't you?
Yeah, but Al Roker does something in the middle of this, a cacaing sound, that my brother-in-law... I've watched football games, Seahawks games with the family before, and there is a lot of sea and then the corresponding hawks, and there's a lot of cacaing.
Is that what noise a Seahawk makes?
I don't know. Let's hear it from Al.
Here we go. Get ready. This is it. The Vikings. I love that mustache. Make their way to CenturyLink Field there in Seattle, Washington, taking on the Seahawks. Rah! Cool, rainy. It's kind of a dome, but not quite. So there you go.
Totally a dome.
No, it's not. It's the field is open, but we've got the cover for the people. Don't argue with me. Vikings, Seahawks, 7 p.m. Sunday night, football night in America.
What sound does the Seahawk make again?
It's very much like an eagle.
I was about
my favorite.
Yeah. He only has one bird noise.
Al Seahawk and Pterodactyl are never in the same room at the same time.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Because I would bet on the Pterodactyl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my! And so, DJ, if you're listening, I'm prepared. I've got my earplugs because he goes go 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 every time they do something, or he'll go see, and then everyone has to yell.
Seattle's known for having a loud home stadium.
They're the 13th fan or whatever.
Yeah. The 12th
fan.
Do you guys ever just forget there's a pandemic going on? Because Lori came in to me and said, hey, play this Seahawks clip. And I was like, oh, are you going to the game?
Just
forgetting that nobody's going.
I went to a game.
The boys and I went to a preseason Seahawks Viking game in Seattle. And they're nutty crazy there, and their stadium's lovely and it's right by the water. It's beautiful.
I think my mom was kind of relieved that there was a football game on her birthday, not because she's such a huge football fan.
Because
we'll have a little gathering.
Vikings mask to take with you?
I really don't. No,
okay.
Thank you though.
All right.
Thank you. No, I don't have I'm fully expecting them to get pounded, but based on Casey's grim.
Is Casey going to watch it?
I know, but he has a $5 bet with my mom, which he already gave me the $5 to prepay her. He's so sure that because apparently the Seahawks are like on fire this year.
Yeah, they're 4-0.
You never know.
You never know, Julia. And if they start to win, I will be scolding my way all around
absolutely.
My brother's living room or wherever we're watching this game with our damn masks on. But anyway, that's kind of funny when Elvis started cacawing. I didn't realize that the Sunday Night Football and NBC went together.
I know. I'm like, of course he's so excited about that. But it's always like one of the top rated shows during the week.
Yeah.
Because it's on a network.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, I read it kind of a great story last night on the Huffington Post. And it was the story started about a waitress who asked some customers to put on their masks when they came in the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And when they left for tip on the credit card slip, they just wrote in the word mask. People are just so rude. So I'm going to agree with this writer at the Huffington Post that right now the coronavirus tipping guide, you should tip to the point of pain.
Of course.
Because the people that are working on tips, whatever it is, yes. whether wherever it's at, they're getting less tips. So when you can, if you can, tip to the point of pain.
That is
my pandemic weekend advice. You know, maybe normally you might give, you know, $3 tip on something, make it be more or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just try and do that because people in the service business and, you know, are really hurting.
And they're putting their health on the line to bring you your onion blossom.
Right.
Tip these
people.
I know people. And there have been other stories about how upset people have been and really stiffed people and given them just terrible tips.
It's not their fault. Yeah, I know. I know,
but that's just what they're doing. So the experts say tip to the point of pain, unless you're in the category of you're not able to do that. But if you are, just do it because you're probably not tipping as much as you might have in another time period. Mm-hmm. So
I'm wanting to know, people, if you're keeping track. Our tennis league kicked off last night.
Oh, it did.
9 o'clock. That's an interesting time to play tennis. And then you're wound up when you get home. Yeah. It's very hard to go to sleep.
Julia, I used to be in a 9 o'clock bowling league at Elsie's. And we bowled till midnight. And all those Polish ladies on that league, they all smoke and drank like fishes.
It's hard to get to sleep. It's hard to wind down. But we won last night. And I played with this gal. And Serbian. And so she was trying to teach me how to swear in Serbia.
Oh, good. Don't say any of those words because
I'm not going
heard
to. Well, first of all, I don't even remember them.
All right.
Okay. Because I'm like, I got a foul mouth, but you can't swear on the court, you know.
Or you can?
No.
Gee, I'm glad that rule isn't happening at Mm-mm. bowling. You should hear the curse Mm-mm. words. And colorful. People try to put colorful arrangements around the words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-mm. All right. So
when we come back, it's our story we can't get enough of. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday. Well, we can't believe it, but today would have been John Lennon's 80th birthday. So 40 years old when he died.
Yeah.
His son, Sean, they have the same birthday. He's 45. And Yoko posted the sweetest picture of the three of them. It looked like they were walking in Central Park on a foggy morning.
Yeah.
From behind with Sean in between them. And then
holding his hand.
She reminded everybody that the 40th annual John Lennon tribute birthday show is tonight at 7 o'clock. And all kinds of people. I mean, Roseanne Cash. I mean, a gillion people. You go to Lennon Tribute, the number 40.org to watch it.
All right.
And it's like a 3-hour show. Have you ever watched that, Rocco? Because she does
not.
It every year.
No, I did not know that. I knew about the one that Curtis A does.
Right.
That's so good.
Day. Right.
Yes.
That's so good. But yeah, she does this every year on his birthday. And it's kind of an all-star lineup of people who just sing and play John Lennon songs. And so it's, Lennon Tribute, the number 40.org.
Okay, let me give you a couple John Lennon facts,
okay.
All right? He was 5'11 and a Libra. Oh, if you're wondering what his sign
was. Of course, yes, Libra.
He grew up near Strawberry Field, literally. He lived near a local Salvation Army orphanage and loved to explore the garden by it, which was known as Strawberry Fields. So that's where Paul McCartney recalled it as a secret garden. He hated the sound of his own voice. He would ask the band's producer, George Martin, to cover the sound of his voice. And he said, can't you smother it with tomato ketchup or something? He said
I don't think very many people like the sound of their own voice when they hear it back sometimes.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He said songwriting was torture. He hated every minute of it. He spoke with Rolling Stone just days before his death.
Well, yeah, he did the photo, Annie Leibovitz, of him and Yoko
in bed,
stretched out in bed. Yeah, naked.
And he said it was absolute torture. I always think there's nothing there, not coming out, blah, 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 blah. But he says his only exceptions were the 10 or so songs the gods give you that come out of nowhere.
Hmm.
Twist and Shout, when they recorded
which is
that,
our song today.
We're going to sing along.
Rock and Roll, that is the song that we are best able to handle.
That's probably true, yeah.
Yeah.
And Twist and Shout appeared on their debut album.
Please Please Me, that one with the four faces.
And at the end of the 12-hour session, they sang Twist and Shout, and it required John Lennon, who was already hoarse, to shred out songs. And he said, the last song nearly killed me. My voice wasn't the same for a long time after. When I swallowed, it was like sandpaper. And he says, listening back to it, I guess you get used to it, but I had no voice recording Twist and Shout when he's screeching.
Well, that's a perfect song for us to help sing along today with Rocco under there.
Screeching and shouting all the way. He also, his signature eyeglasses, you know, we found out from Anthony Bosco at Envision that they were a Robert Mark, remember?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And but originally,
The little round granny glasses.
Originally, while filming a black comedy called How I Won the War in 1967, he took a liking to a part of the round spectacles that were part of his character's costuming. And he said they weren't designer glasses. They were utilitarian handiwork of the UK's National Health Service. But he loved the ugly granny glasses and went with it. Hmm. And on the road, he loved playing Monopoly more than anything. He'd have a set. They'd fly with it. They'd travel with his set. He'd stand up when he'd shake the die.
Oh, my gosh. I love that.
And he went crazy about Boardwalk and Park Place.
For Boardwalk and Park Place.
Everyone did. He was the first Beatle to get married. He married Cynthia Powell, who he met in art school in 1962. They got married because she was pregnant. And she gave birth to the couple's only son, Julian. I guess everyone was crazy for them. You know, we've seen the footage and everything when they performed on the Ed Sullivan Show. And there was ticker writing across the bottom that said, sorry, girls, he's married. It appeared on the screen.
Wow.
When he sang Till There Was You. He was the last Beatle to learn how to drive at the age of 24. And then he went on a road trip with his wife and their son and her daughter. And he got in a car accident. And after that, he never drove again. And that's why he always had a chauffeur and a driver.
He's probably one of these guys who's a terrible driver.
Mm-hmm.
But how about that they mounted the wrecked car on a pillar in their home?
I know. Let's see. The last time he had one diss track against Paul McCartney. You might know this, Rocco, but on Lennon's 1971 album, Imagine, it featured a track called How Do You Sleep? And it was a nasty attack on Paul McCartney.
I did know that.
You did?
Yeah. And I know, they almost reconciled. Remember when somebody wanted the Beatles to go on SNL together?
Yes.
And they'd give him $1 million or something, and Paul McCartney thought about it, or maybe it was John that thought about it. He lived like a few blocks away.
Here, we have the full story here. Okay. So McCartney was visiting John Lennon at his New York apartment. They were watching Saturday Night Live together when producer Lorne Michaels, as a gag, offered the Beatles $3,000 to come to the show. They almost took a cab to the show as a joke, but decided against it because they were too tired.
Damn it.
I know. Let's see. He was asked by a friend once, what's the best lyric you ever wrote? All you need is love.
No. That's good.
That's still true today. And then this we learned. Let's see. He was... He liked cats, Laurie.
He did?
And he grew up, he had a cat named Elvis, named after Elvis Presley. But he found out it was a girl.
I think I did know that about the cats, that he and Yoko were cat people.
This is something we learned in Elton John's biography. His last final concert appearance was after losing a bet to Elton John. And they did the duet, Whatever Gets You Through the Night.
Mm-hmm.
And
That was his only number one song, I think.
He had one more number one single. Yeah, you're right, Lori.
Whatever gets you through the night.
You're right.
You know, it's the only one that technically got that number.
You're right. And so Elton John bet him, if it reaches number one, you have to come perform with me at Madison Square Garden.
And John probably didn't think it would go to number one because none of his songs had.
Right.
Sure, I'll take that bet, Elton.
12 days after it was later, after the song was released on Thanksgiving night, Lennon joined John for three songs, including the Beatles classic Lucy in the Sky with Diamond. I Saw Her Standing There would be his final concert appearance. And of course, they sang Whatever Gets You Through the Night.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine being at that show?
No. No one knows where his ashes are. Yoko Ono had his remains cremated, but never told anyone where they were.
God, I wouldn't have told anyone.
Fans
either.
Think they're at Strawberry Fields in Central Park.
Maybe he's been sprinkled. Maybe she takes a little of him everywhere she goes. You know? I mean, that's very possible.
Very, very, very possible.
So, and he was the only Beatle who never became a vegetarian.
That is just a funny thing.
And he wrote a song called Julia.
Yes, that's right.
Maybe we'll play it, Seashell Eyes.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Now, that's a concert I regret missing at the right down the street from us at U.S. Bank or the U Stadium, whatever it's called. TCF
Bank Stadium.
Remember
you
when they played?
In the rain. People loved it.
I know it.
I feel like we were at my cabin.
We were out of town. There was a reason.
There was a reason we weren't there.
But we did see Beyonce there and the Rolling Stones. So two out of three isn't bad, Rocco.
And it was kind of rainy, cloudy for the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Raining for Beyonce at the beginning.
That was the one where all the women were hiding their purses and having to throw them in the trash cans because they had the purse policy.
That's right.
And then we also had a thunder thing, so we all had to go inside the stadium.
Yes.
Inside the
there was lightning.
I wanted to go to that, and my friend said, "Oh, it's going to rain. I don't want to go." And I'm like, "Come on, there's cheap
the
tickets."
The U2?
No, the Beyonce.
Beyonce, okay, you should have gotten
it. There's cheap tickets on like StubHub that
day.
Well,
so they were probably better than ours. We had a big promotion, and we gave away tickets. Remember, we couldn't see from our seats.
Well, we were in the very top row, which is high up at TCF. It's really rather high. It's not as steep as the old Metrodome or the new U.S. Bank Stadium, but it fell high to us.
I thought you were
in the dark.
And a little cooler.
I thought you were going to use your like top secret scheme to move down.
No,
which
we
I won't
had
tell
listeners with us.
Yeah, we had people with us, and Julia isn't like Casey.
I'm not
Casey
that aggressive.
Casey is my person that I get closer. I get into seats
because
and situations.
I got busted once.
You're a terrible sneak, and Casey's good at
it. No, I don't like to sneak at that.
And
stuff.
He holds my hand and drags me along and makes me move faster than my body would normally move.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You just got to act like you know what you're
you
doing.
You belong, but you also have to be able to duck, leap over something, and then when you pop up, you don't pop up so high that people are annoyed.
Well,
that's the beauty of Casey's height.
Right. Well, me too. You know, we're little. It doesn't matter if we stand in front of people. They can all see over us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so just speaking about the Beatles, if you are a huge Beatles fan, this news is... Gosh, Julia, I printed this like a month ago and saved it.
In
my tickler file. And it's from Roger Friedman. And it's a movie that's out on demand today. It's called Meeting the Beatles in India. And Roger Friedman, longtime showbiz guy, but he's been a huge, huge Beatles fan for many years. He says it's one of the best documentaries ever on the Beatles because it is not sanctioned by the Beatles or Apple Records, but rather... It's pure luck. This dude by the name of Paul Saltzman was a 22-year-old from Montreal who found himself in India at the same ashram where the Beatles were going to learn how to study with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi at that ashram.
Yes.
And became friends with them, and they allowed him to film. And they were just like, it was luck and a fluke. He was just on a spiritual journey. He was a fledgling cameraman on a shoot and wound up taking all these photos and this was at a critical point in their lives. And he spent a week with them, their wives, their lovers, as well as Donovan, Mike Love of the Beach Boys and Prudence Farrow, Mia's sister, who the Beatles end up writing Dear Prudence.
Right. Oh, how fun.
About. But he'd never done anything with the photos until his daughter reminded him. So the movie's narrated by Morgan Freeman.
And what channel is it on?
Just anywhere where you get video on demand, you know, however you might get it. It's called Meeting the Beatles in India.
Oh, I love it.
And so he did it. He hooked up with a Beatles historian by the name of Mark Lewinson, whose books about the Beatles recordings are invaluable. And they go back to the actual ashram and David Lynch.
How lucky to be at an ashram at the same time. I'd like to go to an ashram at the same time as somebody.
Yeah, amazing. So anyway, if you're a Beatles fan, this might be something that you want to check out, Meeting the Beatles in India. Now, last night on Bravo, the very last night, Andy Cohen got to do his, you know, at home in the Hamptons clubhouse show because he's going back in the studio Sunday night. He had Mariah Carey on the Zoom, and Andy adapted right away early to the at home, and I think his shows have been very fun.
Yes.
He had no problem doing it, and Mariah was wigless. She just had her regular hair. I am feeling the biggest giddy liberation. Like, Mariah might not acknowledge that she's 50, but she's experiencing the joy of 50, and it is coming through in aces. I mean, she's so happy, and she was giddy because her book, The Meaning of Mariah Carey, number one in the
number
New York
one.
Times.
Yep.
She was so excited.
Number well, who wouldn't be?
And Andy was kind of excited because it's his imprint.
Yes.
Andy Cohen has his own imprint at HarperCollins or whatever. I mean, I am just intrigued at the fact that she went with him.
Very.
You know?
Very, very.
Instead, but she was really, really
delightful.
She's really doing this book and looking back, and I guess this would be true for any of us. If you sat down with somebody and they really, you know, you were doing a book, you had this meaningful life for that people want to know about and think back, I would think that it would give you a lot of insight in just reliving and kind of really, is that how that really happened? Or did I tell myself at the time?
And you know, someone to ask you the right questions to prompt.
She just seems very liberated and happy, and her answers reflect that because she is absolutely...
No,
she's not being an elusive chanteuse.
Oh,
Julia.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Here she is. I think this is about Derek Jeter and that relationship.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rocco.
Because I did feel so ambiguous and like such an outsider. And yet I was living my dream, but I didn't feel really connected to anybody. And I was in an abusive relationship. And I knew that that was over and it was only a matter of time, but he became a catalyst for me because all my life when I was a little girl, I was like, you know, one day maybe I'll meet somebody that's similar to me that won't not necessarily judge me, but yes, judge me, but look down upon me because they feel superior to me because I'm not one way or another enough for them.
And she's talking about race, being biracial, and had one parent black and one parent white. And that was the main thing that attracted her. And I would say yes, because Derek Jeter was put together as beautifully as you were, Mariah.
Oh, lovely.
And they were playing a game, a fashion game, butterfly it or keep it or whatever. And it was so fun to look back at all of the fashions. And she got into a groove of wearing the black dresses, probably around 40. But man, in her 20s and 30s, she was experimenting with hair and makeup and outfits and looks like crazy. It was so fun. If you look back, you know, she's been performing for a long time.
She has been performing a long time.
Okay, here, this is about, you know, she's good buddies with Lee Daniels. He cast her in the movie Precious. Mm-hmm. And so here's Andy asking about, is it possible biopic?
David from Orlando, Florida said, I know you're close friends with Lee Daniels. He hinted the other day when you sent him your memoir that he can't wait for us to see the film of it. Could The Meaning of Mariah Carey be made into a biopic? I mean, this seems totally inevitable.
I believe so. I mean, it is written in a very visual way. So I don't think it's a stretch. The only thing is, it is long, and we'd have to figure out the exact format. But yes, Lee and I did have a really nice discussion, and he's working on an incredible movie right now. So, you know, it's exciting. The prospects are endless, really, because I especially with the audiobook, I feel like it's already, the narration is already created. It's already yeah. there. You know what I mean? So it could be used in many ways. And it's a nice new chapter, and I'm glad that we're having it together.
Oh, Mariah.
What a lovely.
I mean, and she's just looking, and she did have a black dress on, but she wasn't wearing a, you know, extravagant wig.
Makeup,
she's just like, yeah,
anything.
Not
she looked fairly, she yeah. looked good.
And then here she is talking about, because she writes about this in the book, that she almost passed on the song Hero.
I didn't realize, and then I read in the book, you originally wrote Hero for Gloria Estefan to sing for the movie Hero. I mean, on a scale from 1 to 10, how happy are you that you kept the song for yourself?
Yeah, I'm very happy. And I do credit my ex-husband, who then ran Sony Records, for not only encouraging me to keep it for myself, but, you know, basically he told me what to do back then. So
right.
it was, but he did, you know, say, yeah, you need to keep this one for yourself. And he was right.
Well, there she gives credit where credit is due.
There you go. And she talks about writing the song, Where Are You Christmas? And Faith Hill recorded that and had a huge hit with that. And she just said, it just wasn't, I wrote the song, but it didn't feel like my song. But she really is an incredible songwriter. I guess that's something that we kind of overlook about mm-hmm. Mariah, don't you think?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Okay, and then here's the last one from Mariah talking to Andy Cohen.
The intention was to emancipate my little girl self, who wasn't famous, who didn't have money, who didn't feel worthy. And I know where, you know, we need to be playing games and drinking and doing all that stuff. But, you know, just on the level of like anybody who never felt like they belonged or may not have felt that they could succeed because the odds were against them or they were different. I feel like it's a survivor's story, and not everybody realized that about me. The intention.
We didn't realize that no. about you, Mariah, not to that extent. No, is she
I think
done?
It would be a really good biopic.
Yeah.
You know, I do.
I want to read this book. I mean, it is getting great reviews.
Yeah, I know. I know two people reading it right now.
Do they love
yeah.
it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know somebody who's already a Lambly. He considers mm-hmm. himself a Lambly.
Yeah, it's already done.
Done. Finished yeah. it. Was ready to go. So anyway, and then just some other news on Bravo. Garcelle Bouvet confirmed she's coming back to Beverly Hills. So
next year, which is good news.
Well, they'll start filming. She said, I sort of got a warning from Lisa Rinna. We'll see. I'm ready, though. Bring it. And Lisa, you know, is out there promoting her new lipstick on Instagram. And then Christian Siriano is getting a weekly talk show on Bravo.
Oh, fun.
Called So Siriano.
I love that.
I think it might have started last night, and
oh,
I forgot
I have to
DVR
watch that.
It. But
I love that.
It's just once. It's a weekly pop culture talk show, just once a week. I love him.
I wish
him.
It was pop culture and fashion.
It probably yes. will be, but it's every Thursday. So if you're a fan of Christian Siriano, and the only reason I watched that Project Runway is because
he was good.
He was back on it, yeah. And I really just get a big kick out of him.
He's
so
fun.
That's just a little TV Bravo alert for you. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah, what's up, Rocco?
We're thinking
what's
it
up?
Over every day. Who's that by, Rocco?
Oh gosh,
barely breathing. Is it the? It sounds very Goo Goo Dolls, but that's my go-to for every
Duncan
song.
Duncan Sheik.
Oh,
Duncan Sheik. I bought
I
that
no
stupid
idea
CD,
who that
and
even
I
is.
Still have it, and I think I bought it for one song. What am I ever going to do with that?
And you know wasn't he the one that went on to write musicals?
Yeah, he did. He did. Oh, I've just taken all my CDs and have hidden them out of my own sight because I don't know what to do with them.
Well, this is a thing.
It is
okay,
such a
this
dilemma.
Is a thing, so.
But I do have a CD player in my car, but my top CDs, all the compilations you made me and the one I had made for my 50th birthday with my top 50 songs and all my good soundtracks got stolen out of my car. this summer.
That would bother me.
That's
I know
the
it.
CD
I know.
Loss that hurts Rocco real yes. deep.
The Duncan Sheik.
No, but all my compilations, Julia's made me basically yep. my mixtape on CD.
Because you can't get those back.
You can't get them back. And what good are they to somebody?
Yeah,
nothing.
Nobody wants a bunch of
nothing.
But I mean, anyway, okay. if they're being played at a party, I'm telling you, people are having fun.
There was a lot of heart, and my 50th birthday.
Yes, that one. Every song was hand selected by yours truly, and every single one of them.
You still have the list?
I could make it again, I suppose, but there's bound to be a few that will slip in the cracks, Julia.
Because it was just a few years ago.
Right. by the way, the show that everyone went crazy watching, I don't even know when it was. I feel like it was last fall, The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, yes.
The now, new one's out. The new one, The Haunting of Bly Manor, comes out today on Netflix. So
we like that. And I could watch that one. So that's
okay. Yeah, this one is set in 1987 England. It's 9 episodes, so people are gonna binge it. And it centers on an American governess. Right there, you know there's going to be scary, anything to do with a governess or something like that. And it's Victoria Pedretti, who starred in You with Penn Badgley in the second season. She's hired to tutor and care, Rocco, listen for this, the orphan children, Miles and Flora, in a remote country house. And, of course, no house is complete with orphans and a governess and creepy dolls. You've got to have creepy dolls in that house.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, I just remember watching the trailer, and I swear Donnie posted this last March, and it was basically the governess just saying goodnight to the children, turning off the lights, and then one of the dolls lifting up its head and opening its eyes.
Okay, that just sounds horrible to me. Now that I hear really what it's about. Okay, so I watched.
But didn't you watch The Haunting of Hill House and you liked it?
I mean, I did it.
Rocco, watch this show if you get a chance.
Okay.
If you like scary.
I don't like scary.
Oh, you don't? Then forget it.
No.
I'll watch it next weekend.
And I don't like scary either, but it was okay. I mean, it was like a.
It's
more
supernatural.
Yeah.
It's supernatural scary.
I eerie and tension.
It's that.
It's that. Yeah.
It's not like horror.
Okay, good.
Okay, so last night, mm-hmm. too, like I was saying, horror.
It's not slasher.
No, not at all. So I watched Devils.
Oh, the CW show with Patrick Dempsey.
And this other guy whose name is Massimo.
Okay.
They described it as a European version of Billions. And if people don't know what Billions is, it's on Showtime and it's all about cutthroat hedge fund management,
big
stock
money,
market, big money,
big ego,
going behind people's back, trying to get, but it's all about that.
Right.
And so I read a couple reviews that it's so weird that the CW would pick this up because it doesn't fit their tween teen sweet spot that you are and I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of good CW shows.
So I watched it and I had to put it in. It stars Patrick Dempsey, who is looking,
which is why you watched it.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
I had to put on closed captioning only because it was fast conversation.
Yeah, I use closed captions so much. There's so many stuff where people have accents. I can't understand.
I can't understand either. And there wasn't even a big accent. It was, I'm going to say it was okay. I'm going to watch the next one,
okay.
But it was just okay.
Casey looked it up, and he said, you're going to be watching this one on your own.
Okay. Yep.
You know, I'm
because
like,
it didn't have enough stars or ratings or whatever for him.
Right.
He's such a snob. He's a snob that way.
Yes. And
he's a rating snob.
And yet I have shown him on that damn Rotten Tomatoes movies he loves that have low ratings.
Right.
That are old ones. I mean, you know,
I'd be curious if. Well,
but
I'm
buy him that book about movies. He would look up movies.
Leonard Nimoy's Trip to the
Some
Movies
guys.
Or something.
Leonard Maltin's.
Thank you.
Yes.
Leonard Nimoy was a Star Trek guy, I think.
Hey, you got it.
Yeah.
He didn't say Star Trek.
That's
right.
That's
a step in the right direction.
Oh, honey, it's a good day.
It is a good day.
Okay, so.
And Jack White, by the way, is replacing, he's the musical guest tomorrow night on SNL, which to me is better than other dude they had.
I've never even heard of that guy.
No, I know. This is a huge, I mean, like,
That other guy is crying. Well, I think I'm sure he went to treatment.
Well, maybe he did, but Jack White, that would be like...
And he's got a new album coming out.
Perfect. I don't know why they didn't ask him in the first place.
Because they were throwing a bone for the country fan. All right, here's a little factoid about Saturday Night Live.
What?
Can you guys name the one and only former cast member that has been banned from hosting SNL?
Ooh.
The one and only.
Oh. Castmate.
Yep. Former cast member that has been banned.
From ever hosting.
SNL.
Gee.
I know. Is it David Spade?
No. Wait, what did you say, Rocco?
I know the Replacements got banned for swearing. Or
but there, that was song. A musical act.
Yeah, I know.
No, this is a host, and it was a former cast member.
Castmate, that's the clue that we got to be paying attention to that
Charles
we're not.
Charles Rocket? He was on for like one season and he swore and they kicked him off the show.
You're so random. No, but all right, that was a deep cut. Rocco, Chevy Chase.
Oh, yes.
Mainly for being a jerk to the cast and the crew.
I used to have
such a crush on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like seriously, Fletch, when he was Fletch and when he did all those vacation things, I thought he was so good looking and sexy in a slimy way.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Kind of a, you know, a Gomez, as they call him, the lounge lizard kind of a guy.
He was sexy in like Caddyshack.
Yeah.
He really was. Yeah. I thought he was.
So Valerie Bertinelli, so sweet. She posted all these photos of the night she met Eddie Van Halen. Really cute. Those two were so darling together. But she hosted SNL in February of 1987. And Eddie hung out with all the musicians and he ended up jamming with the band. He didn't want to be Mr. Bertinelli, but they're like, Eddie, dude, you got to play with us. So he's like, all right, I will.
Yeah.
I know. But she hosted that show.
She was a big deal.
Yeah. Anyway.